Narayanam namaskrityam.
Narayanam namaskrityam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Naram chaiva narottamam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Devim sarasvatim vyasam.
Tato jayam udirayet.
Tato jayam udirayet.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Vasudevaya.
So then we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 15. This is the disappearance of Bhishmadev. Here's a piece. Yatra Dharma Suto Raja.
Yatra Dharma Suto Raja.
Raja.
Yatra Dharma Suto Raja.
Yatra Dharma Suto Raja.
Gada Panir Briko Daraha.
Gada Panir Briko
Daraha.
Gada Panir Briko Daraha.
Gada Panir Briko Daraha.
Krishna Stri Gandivam Chapi.
Krishna Stri Gandivam Chapam.
Suhrit Krishna Stato Vipat.
Suhrit Krishna Stato Vipat.
Yatra Dharma Suto Raja.
Yatra Dharma Suto Raja.
Gada Panir Vriko Daraha.
Gada Panir Vriko Daraha.
Krishna Stri Gandivam Chapam.
Krishna Stri Gandivam Chapam.
Suhrit Krishna Stato Vipat.
Suhrit Krishna Stato Vipat.
Bolie.
Yatra Dharma Suto Raja.
Yatra Dharma Suto Raja.
Gadir Panir Briko Daraha.
Gadir Panir Briko Daraha.
Krishna Stri Gadivam Chapam.
Krishna Stri Gadivam Chapam.
Sukrit Krishna Tato Vipad.
Sukrit Krishna Tato Vipad.
Yatra Dharma Sito Raja.
Yatra Dharma Sito Raja.
Gata Panir Riko Dada.
Gata Panir Riko Dada.
Krishna Sri Gandhava Chapang.
Krishna Sri Gandhava Chapang.
Suhrit Krishna Sato Vipas.
Suhrit Krishna Sato Vipas. Yatra Dharma Suto Raja.
Yatra
Dharma Suto Raja. Gada Panir Briko Daraha.
Gada Panir Briko Daraha.
Krishna Sri Gandivam Chapam.
Krishna Sri Gandivam Chapam.
Suhrit Krishna Stato Vipas.
Suhrit Krishna Stato Vipas.
Yatra Dharma Suto Raja.
Yatra Dharma Suto Raja.
Gada Panir Briko Daraha.
Gada Panir Briko Daraha.
Krishna Sri Gandivam Chapam.
Krishna Sri Gandivam Chapam.
Suhrit Krishna Tato Vipat.
Suhrit Krishna Tato Vipat.
Yatra.
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 Where there is.
Where there is.
Dharma Sutaha.
Dharma Sutaha.
The son of Dharmaraj.
The son of Dharmaraj.
Raja.
Raja.
The king.
The king.
The king.
Gadapanahe.
Gadapanahe.
With his mighty club in hand.
With his mighty club in hand.
Bhima. Vrikodaraha.
Vrikodaraha.
Bhima.
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 Krishna.
Krishna.
Arjuna.
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 Astri.
Astri.
Carrier of the weapon.
Carrier
of the weapon.
Gandivam.
Gandivam.
Gandiva.
Gandiva.
Chapam.
Chapam.
Bow.
Bow.
Suhrit.
Suhrit.
Well wisher.
Well wisher.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
The personality of Godhead.
Personality of
the
Godhead.
Tata.
Tata.
Thereafter.
Vipat.
Vipat. Reverse.
Reverse.
So.
I could ask Prabhu. So there's about 24 devotees on. In order that the sound quality doesn't degrade, if everybody's on Skype, if you could please mute yourselves at this time so that Hanuman Prashag Swami can give his presentation without background noise. So please, everybody, mute. Thank you very much.
Okay. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Oh, how wonderful. This is, of course, Bhishmadev talking to Yudhisthira. Oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhisthira, the son of a demigod controlling religion, Bhima, the great fighter for the club, the great bowman Arjuna with his mighty weapon Gandiva, and above all, the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. Yeah. So before we read the purport, I was going to maybe just read all the texts in this little section like that. We were discussing it yesterday, and I think it starts about text number 12 through 24. I got it on my little database here. 12 to 24. Of course, the scene is that the Battle of Kurukshetra is over, and you know, so many things have happened in the Mahabharata, everything else, this particular incarnation of Krishna. So many things have happened. And now it's a very special moment. You know, the Duryodhana is defeated, and Bhishmadev has been lying here for quite some time. And now everybody's coming, and it's pretty obvious he's going to be leaving also, you know. So it's a very intense emotional moment. So, and then at this time, everybody's overwhelmed with tears, lamenting. And then text number 119.12, we can read that through 24. There's like 11 prayers in this, statements in these prayers by Bhishmadev. So it says, Bhishmadev said, oh, what terrible sufferings and what terrible injustices you good souls suffer for being the sons of religion personified. You do not deserve to remain alive under those tribulations, yet you were protected by the Brahmanas, God, and religion. As far as my daughter-in-law Kunti is concerned, upon the great Pandu's, upon the great general Pandu's death, she became a widow with many children, and therefore she suffered greatly. And when you were grown up, she suffered a great deal also because of your actions. In my opinion, this is all due to inevitable time, under whose control everyone and every planet is carried, just as the clouds are carried by the wind. Oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhisthira, the son of the demigod controlling religion? Bhima, the great fighter with a club, the great bowman Arjuna, and with his mighty weapon Gandiva, and above all, the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Sri Krishna, even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. O best among the descendants of Bharata, Yudhisthira, I maintain, therefore, that all this is within the plan of the Lord. Accepting the inconceivable plan of the Lord, you must follow it. You are now the appointed head, and, my Lord, you should now take care of those subjects who are now rendered helpless. This Sri Krishna, who is no other than the inconceivable original personality of Godhead, he is the first Narayan, the supreme enjoyer, but he is moving amongst the descendants of King Vrishni, just like one of us, and he is bewildering us by his self-created energy. O King, Lord Shiva, Narada, the sage amongst the demigods, and Kapila, the incarnation of Godhead, all know very confidentially about his glories through direct contact. O King, that personality whom out of ignorance only you thought to be your maternal cousin, your very dear friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., is that very personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Being the absolute personality of Godhead, he is present in everyone's heart. He is equally kind to everyone, and he is free from the false ego of differentiation. Therefore, whatever he does is free from material inebriety. He is equibalanced. Yet despite his being equal to everyone, he has graciously come before me while I'm ending my life, for I am his unflinching servitor. The personality of Godhead who appears in the mind of the devotee by attentive devotion and meditation and by chanting of the holy name releases the devotee from the bondage of fruitive activities at the time of quitting his material body. And 24 is his meditation. My Lord, who is four-handed and whose beautifully decorated lotus face with eyes as red as the rising sun and is smiling, kindly await me at the moment when I quit this material body. And so, of course, again, today's text is right in the middle of this. And reading all this, of course, is very emotional, very sentimental text. And you can even look at trying to examine then what is the Stai Bhava. Of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is just for reading, and you don't have to understand anything. If you're hearing Prabhupada reading it, Srimbhatan Swakata Krishna Punya Svabhana Kirtanaha, it has an effect. And then jhana, next level, like maybe we're doing now to try and understand Srimad Bhagavatam, the different verses, the different facets, concepts, how they relate. Yeah? And then when we have our intelligence a little bit organized, so we can hold the Bhagavatam, Bhagavakata in some kind of order, then dhyana. Now we can actually contemplate it, try and take it deeply from the head to the heart. And then when we actually are contemplating it, Vishuddha Sattva, see Krishna face to face, understand the Bhagavatam as it is, then that point in Bhakti Yoga, we can actually change the real contamination, which is at the root cause of all of our problems. So then we go from Vaidhi Bhakti, rules and regulations, and we can take up Raganuga Bhakti, try to do our Vaidhi in the mood of some great devotee and try and enhance it with that practiced feeling. And that will stimulate our real feelings, our bhava. So the level of bhava bhakti, then bhava has different elements, and that we combine those together to come from the immature stage of bhava, the mature stage of prema. It's just like you have a seed, you don't know what it is. Well, it's a seed, I should plant it, okay. And then the sprout comes out, you don't know what it is. The sapling comes out, you don't know what it is. The leaves come out, you don't know what it is. The flowers come out, you don't know what it is. But finally you say, oh, it's a peach. But it's a green peach. Yeah. But there's no question about it. It's a peach. Yeah. So this is bhava bhakti. It's the immature stage of prema bhakti. There's no question. You know what your relationship with Krishna is. I'm a piece of grass. I'm you know, a flower in this flower garland. I'm a cloud in the sky. I'm a cowherd boy. Yeah. But it's not mature. Krishna can't relish it. So on the level of Vaidhi bhakti, Raganuga bhakti, so in bhava bhakti, then we actually are working on, you know, we're free from Maya. She's there, but she has no influence. Krishna Surya Sam, Maya Hai Andakar. So now we can really focus on becoming, waking up, full maturity. So there are different aspects of bhava bhakti. There's vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, vyabhichari bhava, and sthai bhava. So the sthai bhava is the basis of everything. That's our fundamental feeling, fixed feeling towards Krishna, how we want to serve Krishna. And of course, that becomes our particular attachment, love, rati, and then our relationship, the rasa. You know, our particular rasa is produced with Krishna then on that basis. So Bhishmadev, he's talking about so many things we see in these prayers, but I see it like that. But in the very, you know, it can be like that. There can be like, for example, Mother Yashoda, when she sees Krishna captured in the coils of Kaliya, a slimy, horrible, rascal snake, her little baby. So her sthai bhava is vatsalya, it's motherly affection, like that. But at that point, when she sees Krishna like that, she may say some things that you don't expect Mother Yashoda is going to say normally. She may say some words that you didn't know Mother Yashoda knew, like that. And then later on, of course, if somebody did a videotape of the whole thing and she sees herself, she may be so embarrassed that she said this and that. So this is my comprehension via Vichari Bhava. It's something which comes out of the sthai bhava temporarily, but enhances the feelings. So under those circumstances, when the mother's child is in danger, you know, nobody is surprised or holds it against her if she acts like a lion or you know, guard anything at all. She can do anything at that point to save her child. It is proper feeling at that point. So then the sthai bhava for Bhishma it seems to be, you know, servitorship, dasya ras, you know, one of the five primary rasas, but with a secondary rasa of chivalry. Now, the seven secondary rasas, they cannot exist except on the basis of a primary rasa. But sometimes they become so prominent, like, you know, the root of a tree can be totally covered by the big tree, but it's still there, you know. So Bhishmadev, even though he's shooting arrows at Krishna, he's in this chivalrous mood of like a competitor, he never forgets Krishna's position as, you know, Vaikunthapati. So the prayers like Queen Kunti also, they cover so many things. They talk about this, they talk about that. But then in the end, they kind of come back down to the conclusion, you know, the sthai bhava. Yeah? And so this last prayer, I guess it's number 24, it is Sanskrit, so nice. Yeah? This is kind of what I understand Bhishmadev is meditating on at the end of his life. He's chanting this over and over again. This is his japa. May my Lord, who is four-handed and whose beautifully decorated lotus face with eyes as red as the rising sun and who is smiling, kindly await me at the moment when I quit this material body. So he's thinking of Vaikunthapati, Krishna as Narayan, but as full person, you know, with full beautiful features and so attractive, you know, never more than 16 years old. And as we go on the prayers like that, these prayers will be our meditation. He's remembering different aspects, the asat sabha, where the game of dice was played, the assembly of vicious people, and you know, the battle and all the arrows and the dust on Krishna's body, you know, the blood coming from my sharp arrows. Yeah. So he's remembering all these different aspects, but they all fit together within this basic Sthi Bhava and feeling like that. So by selecting different prayers, Prabhupada says we should do this for our personal meditation, contemplation. It can stimulate our real feelings, you know, our basic position. And from that position, then we can render very potent devotional service. So if you go back then to the text for today, I wake up my Kindle apparatus here. Wake up, Kindle. Yes, sir. Okay, yeah. Then, well, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. And here we're seeing is that, well, time is Krishna. Yeah. But he's talking about that in the previous verse, that it's really bizarre because here, you know, all these things are happening. And you may think, oh, you're such a rascal. You've killed all these people. You could have made some other choice. You could have done something else. And you know, but you know, Vishnudeva is saying that this is all destined by inevitable time, which he's simply the agent of the plan of the Lord. There's the plan of the Lord, and that is executed by Kala, by time, and by Sri Dakshina Vishnu. And then all these things were destined to happen, you know. So you shouldn't feel too much responsible, you know, for what's happening. And how do we know? Because we're guided by God, the Brahmanas, the Vedic scriptures. So we have some difficult decision. We chant Hare Krishna very sincerely. We have good association with Krishna himself. That gives us some perspective. Then we're reading Prabhupada's books. And then there's so many specific points and general perspectives there always to give us advice. And then we can talk to six good devotees, you know. And then by that method, we can decide, okay, I have to fight this battle, even though 640 million people may die. This is the way to go, like that. And even if you go to hell, you'll have your japa beads, Prabhupada's books, and six devotees will be with you. So it may not be so bad, like that. So I think this is a good standard in life, you know, is in our guidance, we have to make difficult decisions. There's God, which in the age of Kali is Kirtan, Japa, God, the Brahmanas, and Vedic scriptures, Prabhupada's books, and you know, like six nice devotees. Parasara recommends six devotees. So he's talking about this, and so that it kind of seems like Krishna, again, is he's keeping his position as, you know, the son of Vasudev, allowing time to carry on things, you know, in a more like the stage manager or the background for the whole drama. So he has the fun of actually participating in the drama himself. You know, but then his kind of like representative of Kala, or his plan is being executed behind everything like that. So translation: oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. It is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhisthira? One second here. How can there be reverses in the presence of King Yudhisthira, the son of the demigod controlling religion? Bhima, the great fighter with a club, the great bowman Arjuna with his mighty weapon Gandiva, and above all, the Lord, the direct well-wisher of the Pandavas. So yeah, if you have all these things, if you have something else, someone like Bhima on your side with his club standing there backing you up, you know, and Arjuna with his bow, which practically speaking is, you know, more powerful. If all the Russian and United States and French and everybody else's nuclear weapons came to descend upon us one time, all the cruise missiles in the world came blasting down on us, if we had Arjuna with his Gandiva there, no problem. He can pop them all out of the air, no problem at all like that. You know? So considering all these things, it's just inconceivable, you know, that they were overwhelmed by these problems. You know? So Prabhupada says in the purport, as far as the material or spiritual resources were required, there was no scarcity in the case of the Pandavas. Materially, they were well equipped because two great warriors, namely Bhima and Arjuna, were there. Spiritually, the king himself was a symbol of religion, and above all of them, the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, was personally concerned with their affairs as the well-wisher. One point that comes to my mind is that here Prabhupada is equating Dharmaraj with spirituality. And before somebody else, when they were making this class too, made this point that Prabhupada uses the word guru for Domya, but also even for Sukracharya, like that. And yet there were so many reverses on the side of the Pandavas. Despite the power of pious acts, the power of personalities, the power of expert management, and the power of weapons, under the direct supervision of Lord Krishna, the Pandavas suffered so many practical reverses, which can only be explained as due to the influence of Kala, inevitable time. Kala is identical with the Lord himself, and therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord himself. There is nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. And this is, I stuck in that last phrase myself there. There's nothing to be lamented when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. Because around us, so many times we see people are dying. I'm here with Nitya Gaurasundara Prabhu in Tennessee, and we have a little office that occurred by Krishna's mercy. So I come here during the daytime when I can work, and every evening I go back. And Ratabhaja Swami is also visiting, so we have our evening program together, prasad in the house. And he's doing a different active work in the Indian community. He's a psychiatrist. So he told me that there was some Indian community there organizing some, pious program. And one of the members was supposed to send him some document. It didn't come. So he called the family up and said, Rajiv Ji, he didn't send this. What happened? Yeah, I'm waiting for it. And they said, oh, Prabhu, he died last night. So, all right, I'll accept that excuse. Yeah. But he said it was just, one night he was talking with him. He was 85 years old. One day he was talking with him, and the next day he was dead. And so I've heard Prabhupada said that when someone like that, maybe some associate, some friend, some family member, it's natural to feel separation, to feel some lamentation. He said it's like somebody gets on the boat to go to a foreign country, and you won't see them for maybe 2 or 3 years. So there's a lot of crying and embracing, but they're not going to be dead. There'll be different messages coming, and eventually again you'll meet like that, and you're all working in the same plan in life. We have to all be one in peace, friendship, and prosperity with a common cause. And so if we're all Bhagavatas engaged in the Bhagavat culture, we feel that, and then we don't feel we all feel together. This separation is a part of the whole aspect like that, enhancing our bhava, stimulating us to do more sincere service. My friends have gone to Hong Kong to preach for 2-3 years, and I'm here preaching in South America. Today I think I'll take it easy. I think I'll eat a little bit more than I should and sleep. But how can I do that? I won't get the result. And so when I see my friend after 2 years, and I'm going to be really embarrassed to admit that I didn't work hard. Like that, So then these different aspects all combine together to rouse us up to an intense service like that. And so we're not lamenting, but not in a material sense, So so many things happen in life, and just what can you do? Recently, not too long ago, one of our associates, he committed suicide. And nobody could figure out the slightest reason why. There was no problem with another woman. He was a married fellow. There was no problem with another woman. There was no problem with stealing money at work. His children were about to go off to good colleges. But he dropped his wife off his work. They had a good business. He came home after dropping her off, passed through the lower part of the house, was in India, and said good morning to his father and mother, went upstairs and killed himself, hung himself. Like that. There was no manifestation of anxiety or anything, and nobody had the slightest idea what was going on. And so they asked me to please save our tell us something. So all I could think of was that everything has a reason, everything has a purpose, and sometime we might figure out what it is, and maybe we'll never know. That's what, you know, the other verses are going to say, is that sometimes Krishna doesn't want us to know, you know, because otherwise we can't perform our part properly. You know, Draupadi is very young, pure, simple, innocent girl in many ways, you know, but, and there's some prediction, okay, you're born to kill many, you're born to the death. Yeah. Oh, the Kapi Goswami is calling. Maharaj, right now I'm on a call to a Skype call to 18 people to Hawaii. Medical. Okay. Okay, Maharaj. I want to know where we are. So, what a beautiful picture of Draupadi. It shows her like in a, one big first prize thing. Bhaktisiddhanta in Vrindavan organized a big art competition with a bank many years ago, maybe like 1981 or something. And the third place prize was a big portrait of Bhishma, like his face. And it was very beautiful, deep, profound face like that of Bhishma as an old man. And as you got closer, the different wrinkles on his face were different pastimes. Where this pastime happened, where that pastime happened. It was very nice, very satisfying, because each of these different things in his life have carved their influence on his face. And so at the time of death, you can look at an old person, their face, and you can see if they've lived a good life or not. They're carrying it in their face. So that was, you know, third prize. Oh my goodness, what's first prize? So first prize was this painting by one lady, and he looked at it, and it was Draupadi. And it was like someone had knocked on her door in the palace late at night, like 10, 11 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock. And so she wasn't afraid or anything. And so the painting was of her in her nightdress with her hair open. And she had a candle in front of her, but her hand was over the candle. And she was looking like inquisitive, like a young, innocent girl, a little bit inquisitive. Why did you knock? What's happening? And then, you know, so I was thinking, oh, okay, this symbolism is there. It's, you know, Draupadi was a covered flame. Oh, that's nice, you know. But why first prize, you know? But then suddenly something in the painting caught your eye and it made you just shake. Oh, my goodness, you know. Because then the shadow that was being cast by the candle was death personified. And it was really a spooky death personified like that. So here she was, this girl, innocent girl, but she didn't know what her destiny was. Practically speaking, she probably couldn't have lived if she knew what was going to happen because of her, like that. And so Krishna didn't let her know that she was going to be the cause of, you know, even Yudhishthira's lamenting about how he caused this, but Draupadi, behind it all, she knows that she caused it. When they were going out of the game of dice, she was untying her hair. And Yudhishthira asked her, why are you untying your hair? And she said, because I'm a widow. You know, if I had a real husband, he would have saved me. He would have protected me. So, of course, these guys are kshatriyas. And for your wife to say something like that, it's almost unbearable, you know, for your wife to challenge you like that. And it's true. So she refused to tie her hair up. She slept on the ground. In the end, as far as I understand, Duryodhana, he wasn't afraid of the Pandavas, they're guys, they'll forget and forgive. But Draupadi was behind it all, and he knew she was not going to forget and not going to forgive. Until he was dead, she was not going to give up. And so ultimately, you know, behind every good man is a good woman. Yeah, Prabhupada says in the Vishnudeva's instructions, we'll actually see that. We go ahead to the summary of Vishnudeva's instructions in the next few verses. Yeah, Prabhupada says in terms of Stri Dharma, it's very nice. He says, women as a source of inspiration for men are more powerful than men. Therefore, such powerful ladies must learn how to control themselves by chastity and shyness, like that. So this is a fact. You know, ladies, by their nature, can inspire men in different ways like that. So you have to be very careful what they're doing with that. So in the end, I doesn't mention here, but I have a suspicion Draupadi, as a cultured girl, was very much appreciating that Yudhisthira, it wasn't you who caused this, you know, and I'm looking out over all this catastrophe just because, you know, I wanted to regain my honor, you know, because of some stupid Kshatriya acted a little impropriety. But behind it all is Krishna's plan. And Krishna wanted Draupadi to be, you know, put in that circumstance. And he wanted the Pandavas to go through everything, you know. Because it's not enough just to superficially say, this is the way you should act, this is the way you should do it. Common people need a story, you know. And so the Mahabharata, what has it been? According to our estimation, this is a story that's popular for 5,000 years. I don't know how long Harry Potter will be popular, but there's so many books by C.S. Lewis, The Skylark of Valeron. There were different books that were popular. It was Ivanhoe, you know. But now this Mahabharata still, you know, changing people's lives, you know, touching them, guiding them. And of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is like the essence of this, even more advanced. You know. So this is our job. Oh, thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam. Then once we relished it and appreciated it, I think our whole position then is to try and then, according to our nature and ability, to communicate it to other people. You know, and however it can be, maybe it's a few people, or it may be on mass media, or whatever the plan of the Lord is, you know, Krishna will use us and put us in a position where whatever taste we're getting, you know, whatever change of heart we're having, we can then, you know, shine that, you know, radiate that wherever we go, you know. And then the thing is that externally, you know, the kala may be there, time may be there, reverses. But this is the whole thing. These are temporary reverses. So that doesn't mean that our eternal happiness is interrupted. So the eternal happiness, you know, beyond time, is below all this. You know, it's below everything. So temporary means superficial. I just say like the word temporary might even mean superficial. What is time? Many different cultures have very, very different views of time. But one of the fundamental aspects of time is that it's superficial. It's an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. So if we have a relationship with Krishna, then our relationship with time is a relationship with his, you know, external energy. And we appreciate it. It's him. Daivahiesha gunamayi mamamaya dorataya. But it doesn't, even though these reverses and things happen, we can sense, well, Krishna wants this. Krishna's arranging something. And then we get the feeling of how we're supposed to act internally to, you know, appreciate, accept Krishna's plan like that.
Yeah.
So in some ways, that's about all I got to say. Like that. My comprehensive realization. So anybody else have any comments about these perspectives like that?
Hare Krishna.
Well, I do have a question, Maharaj. In the purport, there's that sentence that says that Kala is identical with the Lord himself, and therefore the influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord himself. However, Bhishmadeva is giving such an emphasis on time. Why not just go ahead and say, emphasize it's Krishna's plan? Because it almost makes it sound like time is a greater factor than Krishna himself. I know it's not said there, but he's just emphasizing it so much, and I don't quite understand why not just say it's Krishna's plan.
Yeah, that's what I was mentioning. When you read all the texts together, you kind of see like how, you know, how he's putting all these things together, like time, plan, Krishna, you know, free will, like that, you know, suffering. And so I had the same point. So it's to me, it's like, you know, like I said, that he's like, partly I think it's because it's a Sthaya Bhava. His basic thing is to Vishnu with four arms, like that. and he's appreciating the grandeur and, you know, and that aspect of Krishna. And so then, you know, time is very close to that aspect of Krishna, the Paramatma, the four-armed form of Krishna, and time are very, very close, you know. So it's not like, like separating him all that much. He's not talking about something, that's why my point of comprehension, that's separating him all that much. But like I was saying before, it's just that he's like appreciating, as far as I understand, you know, when Vishnudeva was leaving him from the Mahabharata, Krishna went to him and said, I'm really kind of unhappy you're leaving because you're going to take all this knowledge of Varna Ashram Dharma with you, you know? And you know all, you know what all the other authorities say. You're like the summary, the essence of all this. So I want you to teach it to Yudhisthira, if you would, before you go, so it doesn't leave. Then Bhishmadeva starts laughing and says, you're the father of all knowledge. So how can I, you know, talk in front of you? And then Krishna blushes, as I remember, and he says, well, that may be or may not be, you know, but I want you to get the credit. So Vishnudeva starts crying. I look like, all right, I'll do it. You know? So I would say it's a matter of just like, you know, it's distasteful to say that Krishna is doing all this, that Krishna is planning all this, you know. But the proper etiquette is to say that, you know, time is doing this, time is arranging this, and therefore Krishna himself can also lament. Krishna can see the position of Draupadi and he can sympathize with her and express, you can even cry a little bit at her situation like that, and she can really see that Krishna really appreciates what I'm going through because he himself is like saying that. But Krishna is going to say, but what can we do? We have to follow Dharma, and you know, these things are arranged. So that's what I would say, is the Bhishmadeva is keeping the things in proportion in terms of the, you know, Krishna's desire to act like one of the actors on the play and not be he accepts him. He sees him that way, but he's not like completely like the Paramatma. He sees him also as Narayan in Vaikuntha. That's what I would understand.
Excellent. Thank you.
I had a thought about the wording where it says that it's irreversible. Was it irreversible? Time is irreversible. Otherwise, how can there be reverses? So I was wondering when he said irreversible, what they were referring to, and then when it says, but how can there be reverses? Could you comment on that? The irreversible, otherwise, how can there be reverses?
Yeah, I could comment. I met Madame Mohan when he was in Grass Valley as an appliance technician. He worked for the Big Four, I think it was, right? And he was Big One, okay. And I remember, like, you were like, wherever you go, you would talk about Krishna, find some way to talk about Krishna while I was preparing people's refrigerators. You know, it's interesting because you could write it in the house. Okay, so it says, where's the Sanskrit? So the Sanskrit reverse is vipat, and I don't know if we have irreversible here. Yatra, where is Dharma Sutta, Raja, as Yudhisthira, Gadapani, Vrikadar, Krishna, Astri, Weapon, Suhrit, Well Wisher. So vipat is the word for reverse. Maybe it has to do with this word like pati, husband, master. I can start speculating like mad on the Sanskrit. Yeah. Yeah. If we go back to text 14, because sometimes what happens is probably is carrying the same word forward. Sarva kalam kritam manye. Rascal machine. Manye bhavatam yad cha yad ayapriyam. Sapalo yad vase loko. Vayarivo gana balahi. And so sarvam, all this kala kritam, done by inevitable time or irreversible time. Yeah. Manye, I think, bhavata cha, also apriyam, detestable, sapala, the rulers. Yeah. Yatvase, under the control of time. Yeah. So So in this particular text, I don't think the irreversible word is there, but it's like coming from the previous texts where Prabhupada's talking about how time is all-powerful, irreversible. And then here the word vipat is where he's talking about reversible, yeah, like that. Sampat, vipat, I don't know, one opulence like that. Yeah. V against, so I don't know the exact Sanskrit, but there's this, actually I have right in front of me some books, but actually if you're interested, there's one really interesting author called E.T. Hall, Edward Thomas Hall, not extraterrestrial, E.T. Hall. And he was a big sociologist on time perception and space perception in different cultures. His books are The Hidden Dimension, Beyond Culture. So he brings out, even if you just look at this in the library, if you have a chance, if you're interested, very interesting how the different societies view time. And we have this very German, you know, view of time. Time is a line. It goes one direction. There are no branches. And every step is just the same size. It's like the other cultures. Yeah, the Vedic culture is more spiral. You know, the same thing is happening again and again, but it's going up. You know, so many different views of time. So here, I think Prabhupada is using this word irreversible. This is, you know, when things happen, you can't back them up. Vipat, you haven't got the sampat. Yeah, sampat means opulence, no? So vipat, you haven't got the strength or the power to overcome it like that. So that's why. But it's interesting too, because it's a very good point. When Yudhisthira finally receives the instruction from Bhishma Dev, as I remember, it's about 135 pages. I think I mentioned this, and about 10-point type. Small, you know, it's a really incredible thesis for studying, you know, good PhD thesis. You know? So anyway, the very first thing Bhishma Dev says to the king, to the Yudhisthira, is the first thing you have to understand in terms of Raja Dharma is the king basically is a man of action, like that. And he says, some people say that destiny, or we're going to talk about irreversible time, is the supreme. And other people say that free will is supreme, like that. And so he goes on talking about this. This is right to the point about Yudhisthira. And as I remember, he says that ultimately free will is more important than destiny. Because even though you have destiny, many times, unless you take some effort, somebody may take some effort, it won't fully manifest. You know, the gold is 1 foot underneath the earth, but you got to dig that 1 foot to get it. And also he says that also many times, even though destiny is bent upon a certain course, by executing our free will to the limit, we can change destiny. So he's giving that. Enthusiasm is more important than patience. Utsaha nishchaya daryat. So that's what I would understand, is that, you know, here he's talking about when time makes this decision to do something, when it becomes irresistible time, irreversible time, at that point, you know, our vipat is insignificant. At the end of World War II, the Americans dropped this two atomic bombs and took them two bombs to figure out what was happening, because it was so incredible that they couldn't even comprehend what was happening. You know? So they dropped the second one, and then they understood they haven't got a bomb which destroys like two or three blocks at one time. It destroys entire cities at one time. You know? So then still some of the Japanese soldiers and generals wanted to fight. So the emperor, he said, the American divine wind has blown, and there can be no reply. So that was, you know, Japanese poetry has this idea of the wind coming and blowing, and then at some point there is that destiny takes a movement. So that was his comment, that it doesn't matter what you do, destiny is now within, and it is useless to try and even to fight against it. So that's what I would understand, you know.
Well, that's about half of it. The other half I was thinking about is the reverse, what they're referring to as, in other words, you have all the linear, as you were saying, time being linear, the German accent, that But sometimes, even when you've done everything right, all of a sudden now you're back to, you've lost everything. You did your piety, so usually dharma, artha, but then your artha was taken away. So why was your artha taken away if you did your dharma? It's a reverse. So that's what I was thinking about. In other words, when you do something, you're supposed to, like, karma mimamsa, certain things generally happen, but they didn't happen. The opposite happened. So that's why he's saying that this is unusual. I was thinking that maybe that this is very unusual. It should have taken a particular course when you've done certain things with dharma and you have all the power. So how it is that the opposite is taking place? It must be Krishna changing the rules, you know, like in, what was that, like Matrix or something. All of a sudden it got changed. You know, what changed? The person who was controlling the whole thing change the rules. So how would rules change?
Yeah, because also it says, oh, how wonderful is the influence of inevitable time. So I don't think time is not always inevitable, I don't think. It's not. Sometimes there's free will. Time gives us a choice. You can't do this and that, but you can do this and that. And so then you can make some result. But yeah, I agree. I think here it reverse. Is maybe not so much exactly in the sense of going forward and backwards, although it is, but also because in our English, especially kind of Prabhupada's type of English, we talk about different reverses like that.
Like that.
Just like what you're saying, like that. Yeah, because then he goes through all these things were there. So therefore, I've heard Prabhupada said even that one principle of business is you should be ready to execute any plan that's really important with six different options. And if all six of those options fail, then you accept, this is, okay, I tried my best, you know, like that.
Thank you.
De nada.
Because I was thinking if you're working and you, instead of getting paid, you go into debt. They say, well, that's not usual. You know, so that I was just thinking that why the what meant by reverse, you know, that
one man in the Korean story in the airline magazine, he was in a really poor village in the mountains in Korea a long time ago, and then his son found this nice horse, you know, with bridle, saddle, everything, you know, and wow, you know, nobody in the village even had a horse to speak of, something like this, or a mule. And so then the law in that country was that if nobody claimed it within 3 days, it was theirs, you know. So nobody claimed it. So after 3 days, they got this horse, and everybody's telling him, oh, you're so lucky. And he said, maybe. Then about 3 days later, his son was showing off and was going a little arrogant. The horse got a little upset with that and tossed him right off. And he broke his leg. And there's no doctors, it's too far away. They just had to do the best they could to, you know, put it back in shape. And everybody knows this boy is going to be, you know, lame for the rest of his life. And so everybody tells him, oh, you're so unlucky, you know. And he says, maybe. And about 3 days later, the emperor's captain comes through with soldiers and captures all the young men in the villages and puts them in iron chains and takes them off to fight in a foreign war. And everybody knows they're never going to see their sons ever again. But one boy can't go because he has a broken leg. So he's the only man in the whole village who has a son. And everybody says, you're so lucky. And he says, maybe. So the actions and the reactions are created by the modes of material nature, but the happiness and distress are created by the living entity.
There was one just like that with a man who fell out of a helicopter, fell out of an airplane, and they said, oh, that was very unfortunate. He said, but he had a parachute on. He said, oh, that was very fortunate. He said, the parachute didn't open. Oh, that was very unfortunate. He landed in a big bale of hay. Oh, that was fortunate. There's a big pitchfork in that hay. Oh, that was very unfortunate. So,
yeah. So you never know. You know, again, that's the whole thing. We never really know, lamenting or all this kind of stuff. And it's material nature is so ridiculous that the greatest loss in the world, you know, just 15 minutes later, you could be, oh, I missed my flight. Oh, I couldn't get to work today. My God, I had this opportunity to make over $50,000 profit. I couldn't get to the Twin Towers today on September 11th. Oh, how unfortunate I am. Then 50 minutes later, you're saying, my God, it's the most fortunate thing that ever happened in my life. Yeah. So, you know, what is the plan of Krishna behind everything? And actually, it's a fact, by doing sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, we can become purified. We learn how it works. We get better at it. We start doing raganuga, trying to feel these things, taste them, and then come to bhava. Then we can actually begin to get, in the lower stages of bhava, we really can begin to see Krishna's hand in things, you know. And then we can begin to coordinate our activities, and it becomes, we start to feel, you know, we're part of a big program then, and we get really enthusiastic and, you know, see the big things happening like that. And we see our part. So I want to thank everybody. These classes are always, you know, very enlivening for me. We try and, like, listen every day to see what the ideas are, what the humors are. We're doing, of course, our Bhakti Bhai Bhava program now. Oh, it's a big struggle organizing this thing and trying to do it systematically. But we're going through, like, systematically one chapter, one canto. And, you know, it's enough just to chant Hare Krishna. Panchatattva mantra and Hare Krishna mantra are enough. I heard that from Prabhupada's lips, you know. And so, but if, you know, we can't stick with that and we read books, and especially if you want to preach, I heard Prabhupada say them, you should read. But other than that, it's a whole matter of just kind of systematically developing, you know, different books and stuff like that in terms of our particular part in the eternal Sankirtan movement.
Well, thank you, Maharaj. This is a wonderful class. Usually I get more out of it when I hear it two or three times. A lot in.
Okay. Okay. I don't give these things. Something comes to me. So anyway,
I'm about to talk to Maharaj. This is Dinesh Raj. I just wanted to say thank you for your class. And happy to hear your voice again after so many years.
Still alive.
Try.
I always remember that one time we were driving back from the farm in Sharanagati. It was with Dineshwar. It's a trans-Canadian highway, and I think I had to go out and pass urine, so we stopped in the middle of nowhere on the side of the road with all this forest. Got out, and right there was some kind of little memorial to somebody who died or something. And it was a little kind of, you know, cross type thing, nowhere. You know, it was kind of spooky. And I thought, we got back in the car, and the car wouldn't start. That's a fact. I remember this. And after three or four times it started. I always remember that. It was a spooky thing. Okay, so Paul Parki, jai.
I have a question for you, Ramananda Prabhu. Prabhu, I want, before you guys go, I just wanted to ask you one thing. I was actually on